few things to share. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, God. Wait for me, the little girl called as she saw her classmates get further and further away from her. Her heart beat a little faster. For one reason, she was hurrying, and for another reason, she was frightened. Frightened that she would be left behind and she would be alone. She would be lost. She tried so hard to be a friend, but it seemed like those that she wanted to be friends with somehow did not want to be friends with her. Alone. That's what she was. She knew she was different, but that difference never mattered to her mom and dad. However, it did matter to the other girls in her school, who found her difference to be a subject for ridicule and acts of rejection. As the other girls moved further and further away, she paused to think about her mom and dad. She missed them so much. Sometimes she felt like it was the end of the world when she remembered the day that she learned of the death of her parents. How could they leave me? How could God take them away? She considered her situation and realized fairly quickly that she was not an adoptable child. She was too old, and she was too different. This group home would be her home for years to come. Her caseworkers and her teachers all encouraged her to be patient and to wait. They declared with confidence that she would indeed find a family to love her. She knew better. Losing her parents felt like the end of the world, and there was nothing that could take away the pain in her heart. Just wait, everyone told her. Just wait. It will get easier. Your grief will end. Just trust in God. Trust in God. We thought, what an empty idea, she said. Just wait. Well, she didn't want to wait anymore. She had waited and waited and waited to find someone to love, someone to make her feel safe. She was filled with anger and grief and loneliness as she sat there realizing that she would never catch up with the other girls who had left her behind. She just wanted to die so that she could see her parents again. I feel like any ending that I provided for this story would be banal. So instead, I'm going to ask you to take a minute and think about how you might end this story. Is there someone that you know that needs someone to wait with them? Is there someone that you know that has no hope in their heart? And the other side of it, are you so hurt and lonely that you have no hope in your heart? Are you tired of waiting for some resolution or healing of the pain that has taken over your heart? What can you do to be an authentic presence of Christ for someone that you care about, or maybe someone that you don't care about? How can you find the authentic presence of Christ in your times of wondering where Jesus is? Today is Advent 1, and we are told to wait. We wait for a miracle that seems impossible. We wait for Jesus, who God sends us to be a living testimony to the deep love that God has for us. We wait. In our tradition of taking time to consider music as an integral part of worship, this hymn came to mind, reminding me that Jesus is always there. Jesus waits on us. I'm going to try, I know I don't usually do this because I get nervous and when I sing it's terrible. But if you all would like to try and sing with me, even if it's if you know it, if you don't know it, give it a try. These are the words. And if we don't sing it, the words themselves are amazing. Does anybody recognize this?
No.
Okay. Everybody set? Somebody feel like they can start it? Said the night wind to the little lamb, "Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite," said the little lamb to the shepherd boy. "Do you hear what I hear ringing through the sky, shepherd boy? Do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the trees with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea." Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, "Do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child, shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold." Said the king to the people everywhere, "Listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. The child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light." So as I said, in our tradition of kind of looking at different pieces of music and how they work into our worship and how they are a testimony to the truth of Christ, this one, as I said, came to mind. And when we hear this, it feels like a traditional old carol, maybe somewhere in England or some European country where this was written. But it was written in 1962 during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And it was a powerful plea for peace by a man who had experienced the horrors of war. A brilliant musical career seemed assured for the French-born Noel Regney. Then came the Second World War, when France was overwhelmed by Hitler's German troops. Much against Regney's will, he was drafted into the German army. He hated the Nazis who occupied the land where he was born. So while still in the German army, Regney became a member of the French underground. His assignment required him to remain in a German uniform. He collected information and, when possible, warned French resistance fighters of attacks the Germans were planning against them. One mission continued to haunt him. He was assigned to the task of leading a group of German soldiers into a trap where the French fighters could catch them in a crossfire. Regney was shot that day. He survived. The memory of the enemy soldiers falling to the ground, most of them dead, was etched in his mind. He never commented publicly on what took place that terrifying day, but it has been said that maybe he was intentionally wounded by the French to protect him from the Germans, in the belief that his injury would indicate he had no knowledge of the trap that he had set for the enemy. Not long after this encounter, Regney deserted the German army and lived underground with the French for the rest of the war. "Only then did I feel free," he once observed. Their daughter recalls, "Usually my mother wrote the words and my father wrote the music. But they did the opposite when they composed, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" Of all their works, that simple Christmas song is the one that will continue to be treasured by her. And here is how it came to be. In October 1962, the Soviet Union and the United States were involved in a crisis centered on missiles the Russians had installed in Cuba. The United States threatened military action if the missiles were not removed. And the world trembled and prayed as these two nuclear powers stood eyeball to eyeball. That October, as Regney walked through the streets of New York, a sense of despair was in the air. No one smiled. Regney had endured the horrors of war, and he knew the fear and terror of being close to death. The safe and secure life he had built for himself in the United States was on the verge of ending. Christmas, which was supposed to be a time of peace and goodwill, was approaching. Noel Regney had been asked by a record producer to write a holiday song. "I had thought I'd never write a holiday song," he recalled. Christmas had become so commercial. But this was the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis, and in the studio, the producer was listening to the radio to see if we were about to be obliterated. On the way home, I saw two mothers with their babies in strollers. The little angels were looking at each other and smiling. And all of a sudden, my mood was extraordinary. A glimpse of these babies filled Regney's heart with poetry. The little ones reminded him of newborn lambs. "Thus the song begins," said the night wind to the little lamb. As soon as Noel arrived home, he jotted down the lyrics, and then he asked his wife, Gloria, to write the music to accompany his words. Then while walking down the street in New York, she, Gloria, heard trumpets playing the melody in her head. Her daughter said that was how she got the tune. There are a lot of versions of "Do You Hear What I Hear," including early recordings by Perry Como and Gladys Knight and the Pips. Noel Regney's personal favorite was a recording by Robert Goulet, who nearly shouted out the line, "Pray for peace, people everywhere." But it was Bing Crosby in 1963 that brought Noel Regney and Gloria Shane's Song of Peace to the nation's attention. In those days, Crosby's recordings were often instant hits, and his version sold more than 1 million copies. "Do You Hear What I Hear?" carried a beautiful message close to people in all walks of life. It became a popular Christmas carol. A song high above the tree with a voice as big as the sea. But the message of peace was lost on many people. "I am amazed that people can think they know the song and not know that it is a prayer for peace," Noel once told an interviewer. "But we are bombarded by sounds and our attention spans are so short. Let us hope and pray that when it is sung in churches worldwide during the Christmas season, this song of peace will remind us that the child, sleeping in the night, came to bring us goodness and light." So today and most every Sunday, we say the words that Christ is coming again. How often do we actually consider what that means? And what I want to invite you to do is to remember that every year when we celebrate Christmas, Christ comes again. He comes again into the world to bring the good news, to bring peace on earth, to bring the glory and love of God. So it's Advent, and we wait, but we don't wait alone. The child sleeping in the night is with us, always. Can you hear? Can you see? Amen. Let us profess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.